Now at McDonald's, a McDouble is only $2.50. So you can get your gym gains on or just get lunch for only $2.50. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Today on the Dark Side of 94 animals and 13-year-old girl removed from a condemned home. And an Alexandria woman arrested. The body of a 5-year-old boy found in Colorado, and a Texas couple arrested in his death. A man who led police on a chase in a stolen mortuary van turns himself in. Those stories and a whole lot more today on the Dark Side of Wikipedia.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into a reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is the Dark Side of.
That is. It is the Dark Side of, not Dark Side of Wikipedia anymore. So the deep voice version of me, it was more accurate than I was at the beginning. Welcome to the program. If you like our show and you'd like to get advanced episodes of our shows, as well as bonus final chapter segments that we do on some episodes, and have it all be commercial free and support us at the same time, patreon.com/darkside. Just go to patreon.com and search for Dark Side Of, or go to our website, darksidepod.com, and you will find us there. And $5 a month gets you access to all the bonus materials. It's Tony and Sean with you on today's episode of the program. Lots of craziness, of course, in today as we do a dive into some recent news stories of crazy things. 94 animals in a house just seems... It seems slightly excessive. I don't want to say too excessive, but slightly excessive. I don't know. 94? How many would you do at your max?
89.
Okay. That seems like a reasonable number.
You factor in you already have your family pets.
Yeah.
You know, maybe a fish, a couple of golden retrievers, and a cat. And then you bring in 89 randoms. So collectively, 94, is it really too much?
What if it's 89 gerbils? You know, that's, you know, that could be well contained in theory.
This isn't a relationship podcast, is it?
when I bring up gerbils, it suddenly turns into a relationship podcast.
Too soon. Hey, I texted every 20 minutes that he wanted to. Okay, so. And, you know, here's the deal, Tony. As my mother told me from a very young age, you date one gerbil, you've dated them all. Well, I took that a bit too literally. So fast forward 88 gerbils later, only then did I realize, hey, that's illegal.
Yeah, I mean, well, it all depends where you get the gerbils from as well. You know, I mean, if you get them from the Gear Gerbil Farm, you know, there can be, you know, those are high quality gerbils. It's someone who knows.
Who doesn't love a good cuddle partner? Particularly when the partner's name cuddles.
Wasn't there? Okay, what was the rumor? And I'm sure this is all just complete bullshit. But this was like, this is a late 90s rumor that, you know, this is before internet where you could really look things up very well. And shit, things would spread without the internet, and it would kind of slowly go from city to city. But wasn't there like a Richard Gere gerbil rumor or something? Do you remember this at all?
Honestly, I have zero recollection.
No, okay.
But guess what? Because the internet is what it is today.
Yeah.
There absolutely was a Richard Gere Pretty Woman Julia Roberts hamster story.
Exactly.
It wasn't a gerbil story. It was a hamster.
It's like Shazam. It's like Shazam, where it's like there was no Shazam. That didn't exist. Everybody thinks that Sinbad was in that movie, but there was never the movie. It's the Mandela effect.
Was it Shaquille O'Neal? Or that's Kazam?
That was Kazam was Shaquille O'Neal, but everybody has this memory of Shazam, which was essentially the same sort of plot, but it was Sinbad.
And ShamWow is something entirely different.
ShamWow is something entirely different. Yes, ShamWow is that that cleaning product where the guy who was in the infomercials was busted, I think, on like meth or something.
And it's funny because later in life, in random gatherings, people will be like, Sean, you know who you look like? Oh, man, I can't remember. Look like the ShamWow guy.
No, you don't. I mean, if you were methed out, maybe. But you got to do some meth first. If you do a little bit of meth, you could probably pull it off. You'd have to get like skinnier and look a little bit, you know, like methed out.
So I said, thank you. And then it was, oh, God, I'm offended.
Yeah. No. You on drugs. Sure. But without it, no, I don't think you look like the ShamWow guy. I mean, I think anybody on meth could look like the ShamWow guy, quite honestly. So let's go into our first story here about all the pets. An Alexandria woman has been arrested on charges of neglect of a dependent and animal neglect after more than 90 animals and a teenage girl were removed from her home in a partridge in a pear tree. According to a probable cause affidavit, Alexandria police responded to an animal complaint regarding pigs running loose at a home at the 1500 block of South Park Avenue on July 29th. They'd responded to around 15 animal complaints since June 3rd. Neighbors said animals have repeatedly escaped their enclosures at the home and have made loud and continuing noises. Court documents identify Nancy Clemmer, 58, as the owner of approximately 5,600 square foot home and a 10-bedroom home. A garage on the property has also been converted into a second home. Clemmer told police she wanted to run an animal rescue out of the property. Animal housed at the home, including pigs, dogs, chickens, guinea pigs, and lizards. Police say they observed multiple animal pens on the property. They did not appear sturdy enough to house animals. They also saw two pigs running through the yards towards State Road 9. They say Clemmer did not assist the officers in trying to corral the pigs. Those pigs were not captured that day, and on July 29th, instead they were captured 2 weeks later on August 12th. Inside the home, responding officers say they saw food and water was being provided for the animals, but there was no attempt to clean the animals' feces. Animals' waste was observed on the floor. The police said that the home had an overwhelming odor of animal feces, urine, and rot. According to police, the property was so full of trash that it took one officer several minutes to clear a path to get to the front door of the smaller home. However, according to court documents, he could not make it past the front door because the odor and fumes emitting from the residence was overpowering. He said a swarm of flies inside could be seen through the window, as well as cages stacked with what appeared to be gerbils. Hey, yeah, they had the gerbils. He could also hear sounds of birds and dogs from the outside. Police say a 13-year-old girl lived in the smaller home with Clemmer. They said that she was filthy and appeared to have animal feces on her. She was ultimately removed from the home and placed into a foster home. Clemmer was given 14 days by the Madison County Health Department to make necessary changes to improve the cleanliness of the property, as it was condemned by the county health inspector. Police continued to observe the home and said no attempts were made to clean the property. Court documents say instead more trash accumulated. On August 13th, police say they attempted to contact Clemmer to speak about the animal's health. They said she refused to answer the door and then came back with a warrant to seize dogs, which had not been immunized, and animals, which had been neglected, including but not limited to birds, dogs, cats, gerbils, pigs, goats, and snakes. Officers wore hazmat suits with masks to enter and investigate both homes. Court documents say the odor from the larger house caused a representative from the Madison County Health Department to vomit. Police found several dead animals on the property, including a dead raccoon in a food bin, six deceased baby chicks in a trough, dead birds on the floor in a smaller house, and a deceased guinea pig in a trash can. Clemmer told authorities she threw away 11 other dead guinea pigs over the weekend. The bodies of several dogs and a macaw were somewhere in the smaller house, somewhere. Court documents describe the smaller house as being so full of filth, feces, rot, and debris that it was impossible to step anywhere without stepping in animal urine and or feces. They said the house was so full they were unable to find the dead dogs or macaw. Police did find and seize 94 animals, including, this is like the 12 days of Christmas, here we go, one pig, two other pigs were spotted running loose near the property, 30 dogs, 9 chickens, 4 turtles, 21 guinea pigs, 6 lizards, 1 chameleon, 2 parrots, 12 mice, 2 rodents, 3 chinchillas, 1 snake, and 1 cat in this house from hell. Police say four dogs were found in two bedrooms of the larger house. They said the bedrooms were covered in dog feces that had dissolved from dog urine. Court documents say the feces mix was spread across the floors like icing on a cake. Chickens, turtles, several dogs, and a pig were kept in enclosures outside. A responding officer says there was no water for any of the animals. Clemmer told him it was because it was early in the morning and she did not have a chance to fill the bowls. Majority of the animals were found in the smaller house. Police say there was no furniture inside, only a mattress that was soaked yellow from apparent urine that was sitting on top of the trash. A state veterinarian examined all the animals they found and appeared to be fed, but no other care was given, including lack of water and housing them in extremely unsanitary conditions. The animals were placed with various animal rescues. The officer who filed the affidavit said in his 10 years on the job, the home was the most unsanitary and unclean home I have been inside during my professional career. My God. I mean, this is one of those you try and wrap your mind around it and you try and go, okay, put yourself in that person's shoes. How do they get there? I have zero idea how one gets there with something like this.
Boredom, man, it gets you. Sometimes you look for a new significant other. Sometimes you get a turtle and then a chicken and then a petting zoo. Here's the thing. We have other stories to talk about, right?
Yeah.
I don't have much to elaborate upon this aside from a very, very sad, tragic hoarding animal situation.
Yeah.
Thank goodness that local law enforcement found them. And as a animal lover of all kinds, quite honestly, more than humans, guess what? Really happy that this person was found and they move on along. Next.
My fear on this is that it's going to be somewhat, they're going to get the animals gone, but they're going to be really lenient on releasing the human back to her. The human.
Yeah, that's what I kind of wanted to avoid because that's what infuriates me. Yeah. And again, I don't really want to go down this road of the importance of human life to the importance of an animal's life. And that is a situation where I think that across the board, you have a lot of federal laws that obviously if you take somebody's life in New York or China or Cleveland, for the most part, you probably get tried for murder.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you, take the life of a chicken in Ohio or a dog in Washington or a turtle in Florida, all varying levels of subjectivity, which is when you talk about any topic that has subjectivity in it, is bullshit. So with that being said, because there's 2,000 different views of it as the severity, well, is killing an ant the same as killing a golden retriever? That's where it opens up to such a topic of open-endedness that there really can be no resolution in a collective, hey, we all agree that this is really bad, but this is okay.
Yeah.
And that's why it just kind of makes me want to puke a little bit.
Yeah, I can't imagine what that would be like being. I mean, here's the thing that goes through my mind is the smell. I mean, not only just the urine and the feces, but the dead animals. You get a dead animal, they smell. I mean, oh my God. And if you're in an enclosed environment, like I had a pig that died not that long ago here, and I went over and the ground was too hard to bury it. So I took it down near a river area. I covered it in some hay and some brush and just kind of let it, you know, nature kind of take its thing back over. I did the best that I could for getting it, you know, an appropriate resting spot. It wasn't going to get washed into the river. It was just going to be down there. And it hay stays covered, you know, slowly some other animals kind of get to it. But you can smell the damn thing. Like, I'll get whiffs of it so far away. And it's like, oh my God. And then it's gone. But if you're right by it, you're going to smell it. And if it's in an enclosed environment, I do not understand how a human being can possibly live in that environment and not die. I mean, that would just be, yeah, I don't know. There's so many I don't knows to that story. It's baffling. Let's go to our next one. This is the body of a 5-year-old boy found in Colorado. A Texas couple arrested in his death. The body of a 5-year-old Texas boy, this is from the Denver Channel, The body of a 5-year-old Texas boy found in Grand County near the town of Fraser in Colorado Wednesday has led to the arrest of the boy's mother and her boyfriend. Nicole Christian Aguilar, 25, and Daniel Garcia, 26, both of San Antonio, Texas, were arrested in Miami last week and are both facing felony charges of injury to a child causing serious bodily injury death. The boy, identified as Dominic Patrick Aguilar, died in a San Antonio hotel room on or around July 25th, according to an arrest warrant obtained by Denver 7 on Sunday. Aguilar told her mother that Dominic became sick, threw up, and then died, according to the documents. The warrant states, the day after the boy's death, Aguilar and Garcia allegedly traveled to Colorado with the boy's body and camped near Rocky Mountain National Park, where they told investigators they buried Dominic's body in a remote location near the campsite. After burying Dominic, the couple left Colorado and traveled to Mexico and then to Costa Rica, the arrest warrant reads. Concerned about the welfare of her grandson, Aguilar's mother tracked her daughter down to Costa Rica and confronted her about the whereabouts of Dominic. Police said in the warrant, FBI agents questioned the suspect's mother in Costa Rica, and she provided them details as to what happened to her grandson. On Wednesday, San Antonio police traveled to Colorado to aid in the search for Dominic. A couple of hours after arriving at the campsite near Fraser, police found the boy's body deep in a ravine. The Lemire County coroner performed an autopsy and found evidence of trauma. According to the arrest warrant, the final results of the autopsy are still pending. During an interview with San Antonio police on Thursday, Aguilar told police that her son had suffered extensive physical abuse by the hand of her boyfriend, Garcia, the documents read. She said the night of July 24th, inside the San Antonio hotel room, Garcia allegedly struck Dominic with such force that the 5-year-old was thrown against a wall and struck the floor. The child was in pain and vomiting, documents read. According to the arrest warrant, when asked why Aguilar did not intervene or seek medical help for her child, she said she was too eager to be in a relationship with a man and said that they were both worried about losing custody of their other children. Oh, great, there's others. Both suspects will likely be extradited to Miami or from Miami to San Antonio to face formal charges. Well, that makes total sense. You're just too excited to be in that relationship. So one of your children down, let's go bury him at the campsite out in Colorado and then go to Costa Rica.
Wait a minute. I missed something in that story.
Yeah. I don't know that you missed anything. It's as crazy as it sounds. The child died. They were like, he died, he got sick. So of course the next thing that you do when someone dies in your family, especially a child, is let's go book a campsite out to, over in the Rockies, and we'll dig a hole out behind the campsite and bury the body there, and it's okay. And then, hey, oh, look at these brochures. Did you pick them up at the Jiffy Lube? Yeah, I did. I was, you know, waiting for the oil to get changed. Oh, Costa Rica looks great. Well, as soon as we drop off the body of our son in the back of the RV here, I tell you what, we're going to look at getting some of those Econo class tickets down to Costa, and we're going to have ourselves a Mai Tai on the beach. Yeah, that's how it went, essentially, or allegedly.
Wow.
Yeah. And they didn't want to talk about it more for fear of losing their other children. There's other kids. These are stories where it's like, maybe you should have to have a license. You know, like, I'm sorry. You need to just show that you can provide a good home and you're likely not. I don't know. Although, who knows? Maybe, you know, there's so many parents out there that could easily pass the license test. I'm sure, just like there's plenty of drivers that can pass the driving test and get into car accidents for reckless behavior. It's just, what the fuck?
There are those that try to make a baby.
Yeah.
Then there are those that blink and they have triplets.
And then they are passive enough to be like, you know what? Let's go bury him over there after we make a couple s'mores.
Now, we have the death of a child. All right, let's go book an Airbnb in a tropical destination to bury said child. That makes total sense. That's going to be a fun review. Hey, great place. Great location, dead child in the guest bedroom. Aside from that, I would definitely book.
It was a campsite.
Oh, even better.
Mm. Yeah. And they seem to think that it was okay, too. Like, yeah, we do that. I don't know. I just, again, all I can say is I hope drugs were involved. Because if they weren't, that's some scary motherfuckers right there. You know, drugs can sometimes be the answer to crazy behavior. Not that you want anybody to be doing the drugs to exhibit the crazy behavior, but sometimes it explains the crazy behavior. You can go, okay, well, they were on drugs and the meth, whatever they're doing, it was like, okay, well, that shit was firing this way or that way. That answers that question. I don't need more logic here. But if there's no drugs involved, how the fuck do you get from point A to point B? And this is where they thought the path should lead for these actions to occur.
You almost want to find some empty whiteout bottles. You almost want to find some empty bottles of sorts to realize, okay, well, then at least there's some relevance and you're not this crazy completely sober. Whereas if indeed that was the case, oh yeah, I just had a couple of oatmeal cream pies and carried this out. That's what you really need to be fearful of.
I think that's what, you know, that's an interesting thought, because I think that's what makes me more scared of our world today than anything. There, you know, you can be out in areas and you can drive through some towns that have seen much better days, and you can tell that meth has kind of taken over the community, and it's sad and it's horrible, but you can at least like, okay, it's meth. Like, these people, this is what's wrong with them, and what's going on is this drug. But when you're dealing with people, and I think we see it even more and more now, where it's like, what the fuck are these people thinking? What are they doing? And it doesn't even have to be as extreme as murder or anything like that. But it's like, they're not on drugs. They're not doing anything. But they think this crazy way. Or they have some weird view that makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. And they're sticking with it. That's the scary part, is we're in a place where you don't necessarily need to be on drugs anymore. It's just how people are functioning. And that's the weird thing. That is kind of harder to digest. But, you know, good morning, America. It's another lovely day. Let's go to our next one. Georgia man accused of stealing a mortuary van. Ooh, with a body inside from a crematorium, a parking lot, and led police on a chase, has turned himself into authorities. Well, bravo for that. Conyers police captain Kim Lucas told Fox 5 news detectives had been working for the 23-year-old Kajon Griffin, who was their prime suspect in a number of entering auto cases. Captain Lucas said that they spotted him Tuesday afternoon. Griffin saw the mortuary van parked outside the crematory, jumped in, and took off. Unfortunately, well, he's even in his mugshot, he's even wearing, is this the mugshot or this is like a YouTube shot or something of him in the van? He's at least wearing a mask. Unfortunately, there was a body in the gurney inside when the suspect did take off the gurney, rolled out of the van. Let me read this again. Unfortunately, there was a body on the gurney inside when the suspect did take off. The gurney rolled out of the van. It did end up in the parking lot, at least, thankfully. It did not go into the road. So the body left in the parking lot. I'm hoping it didn't like tip over. Officers pursued the stolen van on Interstate 20 West, where assistance from DeKalb County authorities and the Georgia State Patrol was required. Our suspect did strike a couple vehicles. Ultimately, he hit a trailer and blew a tire. Police said Griffin ditched the vehicle near Wesley Chapel and took off running. DeKalb County Police, K-9 GSP, and Conyers Police were searching a wooded area north of the interstate, but were unsuccessful in locating Griffin. On Thursday, Griffin turned himself into the Rockdale County Jail. Officials have not released what he'll be charged with. Stan Henderson and Sons in Stockbridge owns the van. That's the funeral home. Stan Henderson was shocked when he heard about the theft. He told Fox 5's Denise Dillon, "It's ridiculous that the dead can't even rest." I don't know. I mean, I'm making a judgment on the picture that we have of the gentleman. And this looks like a selfie that he took inside something. And just by his eyes, I'm going to guess possibly drugs. Again, hoping drugs in this case again, because if not, what the fuck?
It's funny that we're talking about this here today, because over the weekend, went as I do sometimes as a state park nearby. Dog and I go for a Sunday morning stroll, and it's a more country-esque area. There was a sign on the side of the road in front of a house: direct cremation, $875. And I thought to myself, is that a good deal?
So
indirect cremation?
This is outside of, like, does the guy have like a crematorium in his garage?
There's a funeral home name and a phone number below it, but in very large letters. And it's kind of like one of those, vote insert name signs on your front lawn. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, my brother's a director of a funeral home, and he doesn't have a lot of marketing dollars, so I'm doing what I can. And, it's all about targeting.
Yeah.
You don't want to, generalize. Hey, somebody died. Come on over to insert name funeral home. You gotta specify. Like, hey, I want a cremation, but I don't want to deal with, like, I don't pick the urn. I don't want to talk about the wake. I just want a direct cremation, almost like Amazon Prime. And direct cremation, I want a price point. That was $875, under $1,000, and take care of Uncle Leroy. And now we're talking about somebody who stole the damn hearse.
Does that include tax?
See, and there's not an asterisk next to the five, next to the 875. Is that, plus
fees?
Fees? Does that include the fire starter? Does that include the oven? Does that include the urn? I don't know. Direct cremation. Is that
I don't know what that even means.
Take care of it and then they directly flush it down the toilet?
Isn't it always direct cremation? I mean, I don't believe they're like cremating multiples at once. I mean, are they? I don't know.
So with that being said, how ironic, Alanis, don't you think, that saw the cremation sign on a couple days ago, and today we're talking about this
there you go.
All-star student.
One of the funniest things involving a funeral home that I can recall was working in country radio. And we had two stations in our building. One was the current country. One was classic country. And this is when classic country was not Tim McGraw. This is when classic country was like Conway Twitty and, older stuff, circa the 50s, 60s, that type of classic country. So I don't even know what that's called anymore. Is that like, what is that? That, to me, that's classic country. Like Rascal Flatts are not classic country. Anyway, the station was primarily targeting individuals 65 plus. Almost all of the talent on the station, the DJs, were 65 plus in age. So it was a lot of seniors that were the target audience. And with that demographic comes, advertising towards that demographic. One of which being... like the Lance and Sons funeral home down the road. Now, I have no problem with this, that's fine. But what gets a little weird is when it goes just beyond the regular commercials, letting you know that, hey, we're here for you when stuff happens, to, hey, I'd like one of your DJs to come out and do a live broadcast at the funeral home. And we're going to do some specials today, too. And we got hot dogs for the kids and balloons. It was set up very much like a car dealership commercial. So I'm guessing like the funeral home owner was like buddies with the guy who owned like one of like the Ford dealerships. And they're like, how do you do a remote broadcast? Well, you get hot dogs, you get some potato salad and chips, and you set it up and get balloons for the kids. Maybe hire a clown, maybe a petting zoo out there or something. And they set it up like a fucking car dealership remote. And there was like the flags that you'd have like at a car dealership, or you'd used to, like the big rope ones that you like hang from the light poles. They kind of like
cool
ran,
deal.
They ran Hot that stuff. Like around the parking lot. There was no petting zoo, thank God. It's like, we're no petting zoo, but you know what? We got a fresh one in here. You can pet his hair. You can see just how lifelike we make them look. They wheeled. No, they didn't do that. But it was the strangest remote I've ever seen. And they it was literally come on down and talk to us about, you know, booking your funeral or your cremation or whatever services you want and get it done in advance. And people do this, and that's fine. I see nothing wrong with that. I'll probably do the same thing once I get to a certain age, you know, if I'm so blessed to get there and I can think, okay, I'd rather take care of this for my kids. But then you let it sit there for a while. It's just weird when you're like, I was driving down the road today and I get a free hot dog, and why not plan that cremation? But it's like, okay. My parents, go ahead.
If you're driving down the road and you are listening to your favorite Kenny Chesney, and out of that, hey everybody, we're live at Johnson Memorial Funeral Home and More. Come on by. It's something you're never going to actually plan to do. That stomach, it's growling at you. Grab yourself a Johnsonville, a Citrus Thunder, and in under 20 minutes, we are going to prepare you for your afterlife journey so that your family doesn't have to worry about it. Would you make a U-turn?
I don't know. This is a quick point of purchase thing. It's not like you're, you know, buying a car or a Ginsu knife or something. It's just one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen for a live broadcast of a radio station.
Now, mind you, it's very inside for us because we've done this as a career. But if you are a token human and you are leaving work and you have your dad or your uncle or your grandpa or your sister's father-in-law, and you're a good brother and you want to alleviate her stress of having to plan the funeral,
yeah,
I can see seven people saying, huh, well, 95.5 The Rocket told me to get on down to Johnson Funeral Home right now, grab a dog and plan dad's death. I'm going to do that.
Let's do a little challenge here. Let's see who can do the better remote broadcast of this certain scenario. Let me get some music queued up here, and we
will... Hey, intern, do you have a clock? Is this a 60 or a 90 second break? Are we doing it into weather or out of weather?
Let me see what you got. Okay, here for the bed.
By. Stand by.
You got, I'd say probably roughly 20 seconds to do your break. All right.
Okay.
So yeah, let's re-cue that. And okay,
who goes first?
I'll let you go first. Okay.
Oh, the pressure's on.
Here we go. This is, we're coming out of a song, and then the jingle's going to hit, and then it's you. So stand by. This is what, behind the scenes at radio, this is how it would work. We'd be talking, the music is playing, like, okay, you're going live in 30 seconds. Get ready.
Yeah, thanks. Hold on. Marty's not working. Hey, everybody, it's 103.3 The Beaver. We are live in Badger Land. It's Mike McDaniels in the morning. Doug's Death Emporium. We're hanging out here till 2. Come on by. We got Johnny Sausage, Citrus Thunder, and hey, Dad's going to die eventually. Why not get him ready now? We're live on the road with your country leader. It's finally Friday.
So this is literally how it would work. Okay, so here we go.
Hey, good break. All right, when's the next one going to be? 20 after? Yeah, all right, 20 cool. After, I'll be ready.
Okay, so here it's my turn now to do it. And
I got a little scared. That was about a C effort.
Yeah, I mean, if you had more time, but this is just one of those short ones. They didn't buy the full package for the remote
quick
broadcast.
Quick hit.
It's just a quick hit. So I'm sorry, and I'm telling you now, your talent fee, the fee that we're paying you, 1/4 of what it normally is, and catch
up. We're actually going to give you a coupon to Doug's Death Emporium, yes, for your death.
But it's a coupon. It's 10% off, and it's valid only 30 years from today. So for 1 year only. So you got to book it within that 1 year. So in 2050, you got 1 year to do that thing. Okay. All right. Here we go. Let's do another break. No, don't blame.
Don't. KNIX, what's going on?
Hey, we're out here at the Steve's Death Emporium. I want you to come out. We got the hot dogs for the kids, balloons, and even the petting zoo. The weird thing about the petting zoo is it's hair of Aunt Edna. And she has her head exposed. She's only been gone for 4 days. But you know what? She looks so lifelike. Come see how lifelike she looks. It's how lifelike we can make you look or your mom look only this weekend. Come see us.
Stepped on it. He stepped on it. He stepped on it.
There you go. So that's fucking radio. That's what we did for 20 some years of our life.
And that's what you do when you're doing a live remote, and then you say, oh, boy, just got back from vacation. Somebody's a little rusty. Speaking of Rusty, talking to Rusty Williams here, assistant manager at John's Photoshop. Rusty, man, fucking deals you got today. Oh, sorry, I said fuck. Can't say fuck on the radio.
But we're live. That's my fear. If I ever went on to radio again, just for the hell of it, is that I would swear. Because
you're listening still in this, okay? When you're driving down the road and you see the inflatable man who's got the smile on his face, and you see the 95.5, the Goober van, and you see the guy with the headphones and the microphone, here's the thing. Maybe initially you're like, oh, cool, let's stop. Don't stop. Yeah. Don't stop. Keep going. Turn the radio station on. Listen to it. But don't stop, because it's going to be super awkward. It's going to be super uncomfortable. Even if it's your favorite station, it's going to be super weird. A person you wake up to every morning and listen to when you're getting ready to go to work for 20 years, I guarantee you, meeting the person, then it's going to be that very awkward for you. There's going to be weird, creepy salesmen that are going to force you into buying an ATV. And then there's going to be a random, what we call prize pigs, where they probably baked homemade cookies for their favorite morning man DJ. And then they're going to start to talk to you, because the person on air who you came to see in the first place has to do a break on the radio. And then nobody else is around to talk to aside from you. Don't stop.
It's good advice. Just keep moving. Keep moving along.
And next thing you know, you hooked up a Polaris ATV to your Camry, and all you wanted to do was stop and see Mike Miller in the morning.
And you end up getting a hot dog with no ketchup, because they forgot to pick up the ketchup.
That you got sick from because the intern part-timer didn't cook them long enough. And they thought the remote started at 11, not 10.
Lots of dangers involving radio broadcasts. So that's the more you know moment for today. That's going to wrap up today's episode of The Dark Side of. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become a Dark Sider. Sign up. Just go to patreon.com and search Dark Side of, or our website, darksidepod.com. $5 a month gets you access to all of our bonus episodes, all of our advanced episodes, all of it's commercial free and helps keep us on the air. Until next time, for Sean, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Dark Side of.